B-Pod Studios.
All right, 11 o'clock hour. Live outside Citizens Bank Park. Phil's Mets.
A lot of kids here today.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Taking them out of school. I saw some Mets fans earlier.
I did as well. Saw a Syndergaard jersey. It had pine tar on it. Oddly enough. Let me go back to that Ben Simmons comment about coachability real quick, because I have a thought on that. And, the caller said that, you know, the coaching staff, you got to imagine that they're telling him to take that 15-foot jump shot, or that they're telling him to bend his legs at the free throw line or whatever. Well, maybe the coach, maybe it's not the right coach. Maybe the coach isn't getting through to him, and maybe a new voice is what will get through to him. Maybe that's part of this equation as well.
See, that there's one piece of that, though, when we examine that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel like if there's one guy, forget about the team itself. Forget about Brett as a strategist. Forget all that. But if there's one guy that he would have a relationship with, it would be what?
It's Ben, because of his father in Australia.
He held him as a child. He held him as a baby in his arms.
But maybe there's not enough respect from a coaching standpoint. I don't know.
Too friendly
and not enough coaching relationship.
Nah, I mean, I don't believe any of that. I really don't. I believe if there's one thing about Brett that I got to believe that those two have a relationship. And I've, kind of seen it, again, from afar, just being down there and seeing those two.
Their interaction?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty close. I mean, they seem very close.
Yeah.
And just think about your own life. If you are playing for your father's friend, dear friend, and he was a friend of the family, your whole life you knew him.
Yeah, you don't want to disappoint him.
I mean, I don't care how much of a half a prima donna you are. He's not showing up, Brett. Yeah. I don't believe that.
Yeah, you make a good point. And that's the thing when you were in trouble and your dad goes, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed. You went, uh-oh.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about people that have known one another intimately. They're not talking about just a coach. This isn't just, I'm an NBA coach and you're an NBA player and we're business associates in that sense. I mean, this thing's real.
A lot of history there. Let's go to Danny right now, joining us on the Fanatic. How you doing, Danny?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Go, Dan.
Great show. I just wanted to touch on Carson Wentz's comments, man. It almost seems like they don't even have a plan or know what's going on with this. Like, the first thing he resorted back to was just like, oh, well, it's just going to depend on how I feel. It's almost like the back is something that never really heals, man. Like, if you screw your back up, It affects everything, and it's usually like a lifelong thing. And the way he responded to that, as far as just see how I feel, it's almost like they're going to let him play with it again because they didn't really know what they were doing the last time. And I'm extremely concerned about that comment.
Hmm. I don't know. And obviously, when we think about the back, there's so many things that could be wrong, right? That can go wrong. You talk about vertebrae, and there's so much. The only thing with this is that he fractured a small bone. Is that different than your normal back pain or normal back issues that would arise?
This is a skeletal injury, right? Not a musculoskeletal injury. There's a difference.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing, brother. And you might be right. I just don't know.
I'm just hoping that, by the time the season rolls around, because, it's been how long, and it's still bothering him.
Well, that's the thing, and that's where you get really concerned, Danny, because as Zach Ertz said, and I reported in December when I reported that he had the fracture in his back, that it happened early in the season, in his season, and he played with it, and he's still not healthy. So should they have shut him down immediately when he was having symptoms? Well, that's hindsight. But the fact of the matter is he's not healthy right now.
Well, obviously he should have been sitting down the whole season if it's still affecting him now. And the fact that he wasn't shows that the sports management has major concerns there. And I just wanted to say one thing about the new Flyers head coach.
Yeah, Lane Vigneault.
He, uh, supposedly this guy leans heavily on vets, and he has one system. And if you got the right players for his system to work, it'll be great. But if you don't, it's kind of like, you know, you're out of luck. I'm hoping we do. Supposedly, it relies heavily on. I mean, I guess Hart can live up to that, and D, but.
Well, his system relies on a lot of structure, Danny, and a lot of defensive responsibility, but it's also a system where he wants to turn players loose, and you got to be able to skate. And that the story about him relying on vets, there's a lot of truth in that. In New York, that was the case. In Vancouver, not so much. But that was the case in years. He favored vets, and he tried to get a team to a finals that was kind of a group that was in their twilight, if you will, Ant, right? But... look, every coach has a system that they want to, in that sport that they want to run.
Yeah.
And they're not very amenable. They believe in the way that they want to do things. And the guys that I think, look at a guy like Travis Konecny. In his system, he will be tremendous. He is perfect for it. He can fly up and down the ice.
Well, I like what you said, and that is that he likes to unleash his defensemen. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, that could actually, and you brought this, that could actually save. Ghost.
It could be a real benefit to a player like Ostisbehere, in my opinion. And look, he's the guy too that he's not a like where he's like, yo, you just got to be defensive and not give up goals. You got to be able to outscore your mistakes.
Yeah.
So that's a term that somebody used with me, and I think that's really true. Let's go.
This will be exciting.
Yeah, it's an exciting brand of hockey to watch, and for him, it's been a winning brand.
Yeah.
So, and they don't have the veterans. He can't lean on the veterans. Jordan Terror is not coming back. Let's go to Doug in Lansdowne on the Fanatic. What's up, Doug?
Hey, guys. It's Whamstown. How you doing today?
What's up, Doug? What's up, buddy?
Good. First of all, I do not want to get rid of Ben Simmons. And I mean, how come every time somebody carries themselves, they work hard, they're a little, they keep themselves clean cut and whatever, they're a prima donna, they're a problem or whatever. How come that is always is, or they're stuck up or something like that? I don't get that.
Yeah, I hear you, brother.
Yeah, those are perceptions, Dougie.
Yeah, and it gets thrown out there. Like, let's be real. You know, the only people that know Ben Simmons are those inside that room, right? They really know.
100%. But and then the other thing, and I'm not trying to be smart. I'm worried about our quarterback and Wentz. But every player plays hurt. Under the logic we're going now, then they should just sit and be down for the entire playoffs. I mean, you're in sports. I do construction. I go to work for 3 weeks straight, popping 10 Motrin a day to get through the day some days. It's what you do when you do physical labor. And Carson's the one that should have set himself down, in my opinion. He thought it was he couldn't play, then he shouldn't have played.
Yeah. That's easier said than done, though, Doug, because he's a guy that just lost the end of his last season prior to injury, where the backup came in, mind you, and won them a Super Bowl. You know what I mean? And he's playing for a contract as well. So that's a hard thing to get to shut yourself down.
I hear that, and I do that too. I work union. I'm a drywall finisher. If I can't go in, there's two other guys going to come off the bench and take my job.
Right.
So he chose, this is the job he's doing. I feel bad, but sometimes you just got to suck it up. I mean, Ronnie Lott cut his finger off at halftime.
No, look, he did suck it up.
He never wanted to not play.
Why do you think they didn't IR him at the end of the year? Because he was still fighting to come back. They didn't want to end that possibility for him if they got to the playoffs and advanced.
Yeah.
So, look, he's a tough kid. He can take pain.
Yeah, there should be no doubt.
Question
there should be
that.
No doubt about whether or not you want to, that he's ready to answer the bell. Look, I mean, to me, back is always scary. Any kind of talking about fracture, you know, we've just seen it. We've seen him get hurt. He's just got to get to the point where he's healthy and he's got to play smart.
Yeah, no, you're dead right about that.
And then it's about luck.
Not Andrew Luck.
Nope.
Nope, you're talking about luck in the real sense. Nice wind kicking up down here at the ballpark. Might be blowing out today. Yeah, it looks like the flag looks like it might be, well, now it's blowing in. Now it's blowing to left.
Blowing out to left field.
Yeah, all right, we're going to get some long balls today. Chicks dig the long ball, man.
It was a beautiful day.
Were you a ball player at all, like in your youth?
Yeah, I loved it.
I played a little league when I was younger, but I was never the home run hitter. I loved it. That feel, like, there's feelings in sports that you'd love to get.
Yeah.
And what would be that feeling of standing at the plate and making that perfect contact?
Well, it's Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah.
That's the way.
Right?
That's what you want, not, you know, the 240 down the line.
Well, I take it how I can get it. Well, could you imagine? That's a feeling when you hit it pure. You know, you just nail it. You don't even feel it in your hands at all. And it just comes, boom! Yeah. It just flies
out.
The
first I ever came to that feeling at a decent level was I did a story for the Mets. When I was covering the Mets and they were on strike. I did a story for the scab team. They had a scab team, remember? So I played for the scab team just messing around. And I wrote about it for a week.
Oh, yeah?
And I hit the fence. That was the only thing I ever did.
You think it was going out?
I thought I had a shot.
Did you give a flip at a bat and it came up?
No, I can see
you with a nice flip. Triple Lindy?
No.
You're doing down the line, doing the Michael Jack 500 dance down the line.
5 years ago.
You're going, swing a long drive.
No, it wasn't like that.
Could it be?
No.
The Cubs.
No.
You trotting bases?
Basically, scat pitcher. It wasn't.
I'd love to see Trot hit a home run. Dude, the Axeman with the bat.
I was yapping. I mean, this is literally 25 years ago, 20-some years ago. And I was yapping to Gooden. Doc was a friend of mine. And I'm like, God, dude, I hate your boy. You know, scab, man. I was all feeling strong. They came back. They came back to spring training. They strike got settled, and they came back to spring training. So they had an extended spring. So one day we're messing around, and he's like, let me, he goes, I'll give you 10 pitches, see if you can touch it.
Yeah, you touch it one of those.
No. He wasn't even, he threw a curveball. He threw like four fastballs that I started swinging the minute he released the ball.
He's just wind up.
and then he hits him with a curveball.
Yeah.
That was.
Looked like it started in a different area for
dude, like, and there's like, they like it.
That's all
and that was him when he was going. And later he had those problems.
Yeah. That would be one of the things I'd love. Like, I'd love to do that first lap at Daytona.
Wow, that's cool.
Back turns.
All that stuff's fun.
Oh, yeah. Today's Midday Show Takeover brought to you exclusively by
Dream in doing this.
Yeah. Sabre On Point IT Solutions for a Changing World. Visit Sabre, S-A-B-R-E, onpoint.com and set up your free consultation today. Midday Show, live in Xfinity Live right here, 97.5 The Fanatic. You can tell people about the uncles.
Oh, do I? I love it. I love telling people about the uncles. That's right. Uncle Greg and Uncle Paul. Well, when I tell you about family, and look, I could give you all the deals. I'll start with that because they have great deals going on. In fact, right now, you can get a new Jeep, a new Ram truck, and save 15%, 30%. You could say, 30%, which means 15 grand. Off that new Ram Jeep or that Ram truck or new Jeep. It's amazing. But here's the thing. It's not about simply deals. Family is about family. The uncles are about giving you a lifelong relationship when it comes to your new vehicles. You're going to want to fall in love with them like I did. At family, your buying experience is always fun, fast, and friendly. You get the best service after the sale. You're going to fall in love. Trust me. Always remember, at Family Crusher Dodge Jeep Ram, the uncles will tell you, you're more than a customer. Yeah, you're family. In the Philadelphia Airport Auto Mall, online at any time at familyautos.com. See the uncles for details.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
O'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. Oh, what a beautiful day.
Scheduled day, Ant.
Right outside 11th Street, across from Citizens Bank Park. People starting to mill about. Good Phillies fans. Big news, in case you missed it. Nick Pivetta, option sent down. That's amazing. I'm surprised they went that quick. Eichhoff gets a shot. He'll pitch on Sunday.
You know what that is? I applaud Gabe for doing it.
I do, too.
If you're not going to perform, you're not going to stay.
All right.
Shot over to Bow.
And we can't have it. We can't have this. Like, yeah, you got staked to that kind of lead? You got to give me seven, son. You got to give me seven.
Yep.
Come on.
Jeff McClain's going to join us in just a couple minutes. Real quick, it is scheduled release day. I'm just reading this article on Philly.com. It says if the Eagles do end up playing on Thanksgiving, has been heavily rumored at this point, it would open them up to playing the following week on Thursday Night Football on a full week's rest against the Dallas Cowboys, the Cowboys obviously will play on Thanksgiving. The Eagles will play on Thanksgiving. But the rumor is that the Eagles will play, I guess, that night game on Thanksgiving in Miami against the Dolphins.
Eagles Dolphins?
Yes.
On Thanksgiving night. I love when Eagles play Thanksgiving night, beyond. I love it.
Yeah, you want the night game too.
Actually, I like after the take. I like the
first game?
I got no problem. First game.
Yeah, pregame.
Eagles Cowboys Thanksgiving Day is the greatest.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. That should be the game. Eagles Cowboys Thanksgiving Day?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Well, it looks like you're going to get, according to this and some rumors, that you'll get Eagles Dolphins in Miami.
Is this credible stuff or what?
Well, we'll see. We'll see when everything comes out tonight, but this has been bandied about.
Sometimes there's leaks.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I'm looking for the leak. We got to find the leak. You know?
Yeah,
find out where the heck, what's going on with this schedule, but we got to get to the man.
Yes, we do.
A lot to talk about here.
There is. He covers Eagles like no other. You can check him out. Inquire, Philly.com. Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline. What do you say, Jeff?
What's up, guys?
Brother, you hearing anything with the schedule yet? Cover anything?
I know a couple things. They'll be going online within the half hour.
Within the half hour?
Yep.
All right.
All right, so you want to break them here right now? Go ahead, Jeff.
No,
I can't do it. My boss will be upset.
No, you can't do that.
I talked to your boss. He said it's okay.
Can I just ask you one thing? Will we be sharing turkey with our beloved football team?
From what I understand, no.
Oh, okay.
All right. Jeff, so let's dive into Carson right away. And what do you make of yesterday? What do you make of him not being right just yet?
I'm not really surprised. I think that three-month timeline that Doug Peterson set in December was kind of something that he just threw out there. Since then, they've been kind of very ambiguous about, you know, giving us an exact time of when Carson's be 100%. I think it's just Carson being told by the team to be very conservative about his return because of what happened last year. He was very aggressive in saying, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to be back by this time, by this point in the regular season. And I think that put undue pressure on him and the team, and they don't want to approach it that way with the back. So I think they're just going to take a conservative approach in terms of what they're saying to the media and to the fans. My guess is that he'll be back by OTAs.
Hey, Jeff, there was a lot of, to use your word again, ambiguity about when Carson was injured and with the fracture in his back. When I initially reported it, that it was several weeks prior to that, Zach Ertz comes out and says he played most of last season with that fracture in his back. And Adam Schefter confirmed that report this morning as well. So they didn't want to answer those questions about when the back injury happened. But you got to ask the question now is, should he have been out there on the field knowing that he injured that back and fractured his back earlier in the season?
Well, I mean, I think we could deduce from when he first popped up on the injury report that he was dealing with some sort of back issue almost, you know, two or three games into his season. It was early October.
October 7th.
Right before the Giants game when he first showed up. He didn't practice on that Wednesday before the Thursday game. And, you know, they didn't specify exactly what the injury was then, but a week later all of a sudden back soreness, whatever they called it. So not a huge surprise. He was playing with the injury throughout the entire season. I think we kind of gleaned as much from the injury reports and also just by the way he was playing. I mean, all of a sudden he was running in the first two games and then all of a sudden, you know, he wasn't taking off as much as Carson Wentz typically does.
Right.
Now, to answer your question, it's a fair one, and it's a fair one to ask, is what was going on with the medical staff? Why weren't they able to diagnose this injury? Now, I've spoken to some medical people who have said that it's not typically an injury that'll all of a sudden pop up on a CAT scan. So that could be one explanation.
Yeah.
The other explanation could be, we all know Carson. He's going to downplay his injuries probably more often than not. And he probably wasn't giving them the full kind of full explanation of what kind of pain he was feeling. And I think that might have been the reason why they kept throwing him out there week after week.
I that would make sense to me. It also makes sense as to why, because the one thing I never understood was why Doug would run him sometimes on those read options, and I'm going, you know, you got a guy that's hurt. The last thing you want to do is run that kind of play, and that would kind of make sense then.
Cowboys on the road right before he before they, you know, shut him down. It was a third and one. They had him kind of rolling out.
Yeah.
I
never understood that.
Don't read. Yeah, I don't understand that either. That was kind of a dubious call.
All right, but do you think, how much do you think that injury affected his performance throwing the football down the field? I kind of believe, and we're talking to Jeff McClain, who's terrific, man. Covers the Eagles, Inquirer, Philly.com. I really believe that it affected Carson, his throws down the field. I also think it made him more reliant on Ertz over the middle because I think he feels like he could make that throw. I don't know. Am I reading into something that's incorrect? What do you think?
No, absolutely. I did a story on this right before he got injured. What was the issue? His numbers had dropped drastically in terms of down the field throws. Now that was never his forte at college, and it wasn't in his first 2 years with the Eagles. But he was very good at it in 2017. And all of a sudden, not only is he reluctant to throw, he's not hitting guys when they are open. I remember specifically a throw to Alshon Jeffrey, who was open at home against, the team they had played, and he just completely overshot him. And that was something you saw maybe his rookie year because of his mechanics. I don't think it was mechanics this time. I think it was, as you mentioned, the back. And that's certainly going to affect throws and certainly going to affect the ones that are further down the field. You have to torque a little bit more on that back. So I think that's a fair explanation for why, you know, he's not going to sit here and say that's the reason he doesn't point to it. But considering how well he played in terms of 2017, it's a fair question to ask.
Jeff, when you look at Wentz now, they're a bit in the pickle bower here in the sense that it's extension time. It's time for the quarterback where he could sign that big deal. They could do it now, or they could wait, knowing with the injury history of the past couple of seasons, and we know the importance of availability in sports, and that certainly is a valid concern right now in dealing with Carson Wentz. How are the Eagles going to approach this negotiation with Wentz? And what's the timeline? Do you do it now or do you wait?
There's arguments to be made for both sides. Look, we just saw what Russell Wilson signed for, $35 million a year. That's basically the going rate. The Eagles will have to pay Carson probably a little more than that if they want to lock him up right now. That's a lot of money. But that's probably going to be significantly less than what they're going to have to pay him a year from now if he has the season that we all project him to have as long as he's healthy. So that's the Eagles' reason for wanting to do something now. And as far as I could tell by the language of Howie Rose and then Jeffrey Lurie at the owners' meeting was, hey, let's make a deal. Let's do this now, Carson. We're ready to go now. But if you look at ever since first-round quarterbacks have been eligible to get extensions after the third year of the rookie contract, no first-round guy has gotten an extension. So Carson Wentz would officially be the first. So this is something that hasn't been done for a reason. Now, on the Eagles' end, you have to wonder about his durability. You want to put this investment in a guy that hasn't been able to complete the last two seasons. I think the Eagles are willing to do that, and I understand their thought process there. Carson, I'm not so sure why he'd want to do something now. He's a very confident guy. He believes he believes that he's probably going to go out there and play all 16 games and play at a high level, play like he did in 2017, perhaps even better if you look at his accuracy from last year. Why do a deal now when next offseason you can be paid? Let's say he gets 35 this year. Next year, let's say he can get 38 a year. That's
right.
Three times six. That's almost $20 million more. Why would you do the deal now if you can get significantly more money in a year from now? And look, I understand
it's only yourself.
$2 million here and there, but you know, there's a lot to consider here. His agents aren't going to all of a sudden leave money on the table if they feel like they can get something bigger next off.
All right. So, Jeff, let me ask you point blank. Do you still believe in Wentz as not just a franchise quarterback? Okay, so you still believe that he's a guy that has top five in the NFL potential?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I do too.
I absolutely do. Are there things he needs to work on? Do you have to prove that you can go out there each and every game and be dependable in terms of staying on the field? You know, the Peyton Mannings, the Tom Brady's, who've done it year after year through most of their careers. yeah, you have to do that. But in terms of his skill set, in terms of his mindset, in terms of everything he does off the field, I think Carson would be that guy.
Yeah. I think, I'm sorry, Jace. I think the same thing. It's funny. I look at him. I can't get 2 years ago out of my mind. That you just don't progress that way. He's still a tireless worker. He knows the game inside and out. He's got so many attributes. It's just going to come down to like Embiid. It's going to come down to health. You know, Jeff?
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. It's that simple.
Well, I mean, look at the game. I mean, he was good last year. I mean, yeah, he regressed some, but I think we can place a lot of it on the injury. And there were stretches early, even when he came back, where you're like, okay, this is Carson, the next step, you know, in terms of his accuracy near 70% now. Did he come to rely a little too much on Ertz and maybe his underneath throws? Maybe just a touch, and maybe that helped his accuracy. But I think if you factor in the injury, you factor in some of the other injuries on the offensive line, certainly the skill position, and how that affected him.
Sproles.
Running back position. I mean, they didn't really have anybody to rely on there. That's a pretty fair explanation in terms of why he may have taken a little bit of a step back in 2000.
I agree with that. Yeah, I do.
Jeff McClain with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Philly.com covers the Eagles, does a great job. Jeff, busy time. Schedule comes out tonight. You alluded that you're going to have some information on that coming out in the coming minutes or here. So keep an eye on your Twitter for that. But also the draft next week. The Eagles, we know where there's some needs are. What do you see in, out of the Eagles in this coming draft next Thursday night?
Yeah, I'm sorry. sorry, I was getting text, making sure I'm not missing anything.
Life of a reporter.
Here's how I look the first round, at least. Defensive line, certainly offensive line. I wouldn't be surprised, maybe a receiver at that spot. But if you ask me if the Eagles are more likely to take a player at 25 or trade out, I'd say they trade out and move back into second, 3 seconds and add a third, and then you have 2 firsts. I just think where they are in terms, typically you don't see first round talent that late in the first round. The same happened last year when they were 32. They felt Goddard was kind of in that, late 30s, early 30s category, and they were able to still get him at 50 and trade back and add a pick. I think that's something that they'll be able to do. There could be a team that's willing to trade into that spot for one of those quarterbacks. And I'm sure the Eagles are right now making calls telling, we're available to trade out. Defensive lineman in the first 3 picks is probably a sure bet. I think there's a possibility of getting a running back maybe there, maybe more in the fourth round. O-line, someone that developed there, maybe a linebacker. Typically, they obviously don't take one in the first round, but maybe second or third. And as I mentioned before, receiver. I with Aguilar's contract situation, you got older, guys who are aging, and DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey. I could see them adding a receiver, probably second day.
Yeah, it's funny. The only thing that ever makes me squeamish about that is the name Marcus Smith.
Yeah,
that's the only thing when you look and you try to get out and you try to trade back, and there are times when you look at a guy and you go, this guy's going to be around. The only good thing is that I think there's a jumbled bunch of second round talent that you should probably be able to fill out your board. But I still remember that time, man.
Oh.
That was they got caught because they had a guy. They had 2 guys they wanted, 3 guys actually, and they were all gone.
They're all gone before them. They tried to move up. They couldn't move up. I think they may stand pat if, look, there's a lot of defensive linemen, high quality defensive linemen in this draft. And so when you have a surplus, you'll tend to see a few guys that drop, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, if there's a really good guy, Wilkins, say, let's say he's a 25, maybe you pull the trigger there because, maybe you had him ranked as probably someone higher than that.
Hey, Jeff, I had somebody pose the question to me on Twitter yesterday about this. Russell Wilson was in the news, obviously, signing that contract. You alluded to it, the $35 million and a huge contract for him. But would you consider trading a guy like Carson?
You've got to break a tie here.
Yeah. Would you consider trading Carson Wentz for Russell Wilson? Now, Wilson's 30 right now. He's going to be 31
in November,
every end of November. He's played 7 seasons, has not missed a game, mind you. He's played all 16 in all of those years.
It's a
barroom conversation.
Hypothetical.
We had a fight. Here's the deal. We had a fight, Jason and I. All right? So just break the tie. Just
Carson
tell him no.
Straight up right now, everything?
Straight up.
Carson, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, I didn't say definitively. I'm saying I'd have to consider
it. I called you crazy.
Yeah, well, I'm considering it because the guy plays every game and he's 30, 31. That's prime.
I'm a Wilson guy. There's some people, you know, that aren't Wilson people around.
I love Russell Wilson, but I'm not trading him at 31 years old. It's going to be 31. I'm not trading him for Carson.
I'd stick with Carson just because of the age thing and because
you're incurring some risk there, Jeff.
And the upside, here's the upside. The upside is I love Russ. I do. I love him, but he's not a top five thrower. Listen, he does great. He's a winner. I love him to death, but he's not a top five thrower in the league. I got a guy that potentially could be a top five guy. I'd rather shoot for the ceiling, and he's younger.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, current a little risk there. You boys are, you guys like to buy some iffy stocks. You know what I'm saying?
That's all right.
High risk, high reward boys over here.
We'll live in the penthouse. We're on the street together, brother. We'll be neighbors, you and I, Jeff.
Oh, boy. Hey, Jeff, we appreciate it, man. We'll look at your Twitter for that schedule info. We'll be following along, obviously, all week and with the draft and everything coming up in the offseason program. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
There he is, Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline. He's always got a plethora of information, Anthony, and he delivers once again for us. I can't hang that up, Andrew, so if you can hang that up, I appreciate it. So we'll be keeping an eye. He's saying it doesn't look like
turkey. You got to be excited for Thanksgiving.
Turkey and cranberries and the Eagles.
I love the Thanksgiving.
So we're getting conflicting reports on that regard right now. It's the big unveiling premiere tonight at like 8 o'clock. Is that what they're doing on like NFL Network?
Yeah, and ESPN2 is doing a 2-hour special.
Okay. All right, so we'll be locked in on that.
I'll never forget when it first started. They first started this thing. This is early 2000, so I was an Eagles correspondent for NFL Network from Chickies and Pete's. Let's go live to Chickies and Pete's when we unveil the schedule. It was hysterical.
It's like doing the tournament.
It was unbelievable.
People getting all pumped
week
up.
Week 3, Eagles and Redskins. It's awesome.
At RFK.
I love this schedule, man. Such a loser.
No, I do too, though. It's a ton of fun.
It's a great time. We'll go over it 100 times. You're off tomorrow and Friday.
Yeah, I'm going to be heading
up. So you'll miss the W's and L's that I will definitely do.
I'll submit from Cape Cod.
Please submit your W's and L's. I will have them incorporated into the program.
All right, and when we come back, I got to ask you if it's a violation because the old lady for the trip wants to beat rush hour in New York to go to Cape Cod tomorrow.
Right.
So she wants to have the family truckster packed and ready and rolling out of the driveway.
3 a.m.
4 a.m.
Well, you're not going to miss New York.
New York is old.
But 6 a.m., and you know, who do you think? You better leave at 3.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So we might as well leave at 9 in the morning. What do I got to get up at 4 for? Like Tiger Woods preparing
You'll get up to New York, and it'll be 6 a.m. There's a lot of people getting up, going to work.
I may have to have you have an intervention with the wife.
You should do it at 3.
No, I shouldn't. In the afternoon.
3 a.m., you're safe, I think.
I'm not going to be safe. 610-6.
You want to get up there and be excited?
I can't check in the hotel till like 2.
You go get some breakfast, go to diner.
She always likes to get everywhere early, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. I'm not an early person either.
Nah, kidding me? 610-632-0975. That's the number to get
in. I hate early.
Early is not in your
But 3 is kind of early to late, so I kind of like
it. You like 3 when you're still up, not getting up.
Correct.
We got a couple open lines. Grab them at 610-632-0975. This is the Midday Show, live at Xfinity Live on 97.5 The Fanatic. But I got to tell you about Sabre Systems. They've been solving mission-critical problems for 30 years. Now, what does that mean? Sabre Systems, they've been handling the cybersecurity for our nation's armed forces for years. They realize that every business also needs to protect its assets from cyber threats, and that's why Sabre has launched Sabre On Point to support businesses and organizations of all sizes. Sabre On Point specializes in cyber solutions, digital transformation, and data analytics to help you grow your business, reduce expenses, and most of all, keep it secure. Sabre On Point is based here in Philadelphia, and over 100,000 users across the globe depend on Sabre. So if you're up at night worried about your cybersecurity and the safety of your business, or if you're not getting the most out of it, your assets, visit Sabre On Point and ask for a free consultation. That's SabreOnPoint.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Back outside the ballpark, Citizens Bank Park, Phils. We got some Eagles news on Phillies Day. Yes, it is Phillies Day. And it has broken a little bit of a leak from the schedule. The Eagles will open the season, the 2019 campaign, against the Washington Redskins. So it's Eagles Skins to start the season. That would be 1-0.
Yeah. All right. Going?
So that's a good W. We'll put it right next to the Eagles Skins W. Where's that game, Andrew?
It'll be in Philadelphia. Yep. Kickoff set for 1 p.m. A little bit more. This is all from the Jeff McClain story that he alluded to earlier. Week two, they will then travel to Atlanta to face the Falcons Sunday night, 8:20.
I love it.
Give me the NBC music.
8:20 game.
Yeah.
That's pretty great. Awesome.
Al Michaels.
Oh, there it is.
The Philadelphia Eagles. Do you believe in miracles?
I think Wentz fumbled. That's Collinsworth.
Yeah. All right. So week one, right here.
That's all we know. I almost don't want to know the rest.
Yeah, that's all he's got so far.
I'll be honest with you. I almost don't want to know it. They have to wait till tonight. And it's like not right to open to know it. It's like opening before. I'm not a Christmas Eve open gifts. To me, that's Christmas Day.
You like to save it all for one. You like to have it all at one time, not just dribs and drabs.
Yeah, you can get one. Okay. See, to me, that was the one. Andrew ruined it by giving me the second game.
Nah, sorry. All right. Well,
you got to deal with Chunis. I don't blame you for it.
All right, so the kickoff for the opener is set at 1 o'clock at Lincoln Financial Field.
1 o'clock games.
And then, obviously, 8:20 in week two. It looks like in Atlanta. And we got to figure out, because this Miami game, as I read earlier, was rumored to be maybe on Thanksgiving night.
But
it's a big travel game for Eagle fans. That could put a
Jeff says no.
Yeah, that could put a crimp in people's travel plans. You know?
Yeah.
You can't. It's easy to travel.
We're working on something
for a Sunday game.
To get people involved.
But it's not easy to all of a sudden shirk all your family responsibility on a great holiday like Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's probably out.
Yeah.
Kids Thanksgiving. Jeff says no, so.
Turkey in South Beach.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
Miami shouldn't play Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, they should have no, they got no business playing on Thanksgiving.
No.
I
know people hate Dallas, Detroit, they always say it. I love the tradition.
And you're okay with Detroit. I'd replace them at least.
I wouldn't do that.
No?
It's Lions. It's what it is.
All right. Yeah. But 90% of the time, they're Drek.
Doesn't matter.
Still Thanksgiving tradition.
Thanksgiving tradition.
They're like the Cranberries.
Yeah.
Have Thanksgiving.
I agree. Meal. You know, I agree. I don't think the
totally overrated Cranberries.
I hate Cranberries. I'm with it.
I don't even touch them. I'm the passer of the Cranberry.
I don't even have that on my tape.
No? It goes on a different date. You won't even allow it?
I have it on Cranberries.
I got a question for you. This has been posed a lot on social media. A couple people asked me about it, too. Let me ask you if something's good or not.
Yeah.
The Tampa Bay Lightning went through a historic regular season.
Hey, so I was going to bring this up to you earlier, but we had so much stuff going on with Ben and Carson and Phils. It's so difficult. But that's a stunning. Not only did Columbus win, they swept them.
Yep.
And they swept Tampa. That's outrageous.
And for the most part, they beat the brakes off them. And
scored 7 goals last night.
Yeah. Well, a lot of those are empty netters.
I know.
But ever since that 3-0 lead Tampa had in game one, Columbus just destroyed them. Now, Tampa won 62 games in the regular season.
Oh, they owned it.
They historic pace, right? And they get swept in the first round. Is that good for the sport? Are there elements of good and elements of bad?
See, here's the problem. I don't know. It's a great question. Because on one hand, it's awesome to see the first team go. The first, basically, they were the number one overall seed to do it by NCAA standards.
Yeah, and not close.
Like they were the favorite to win it.
Mm-hmm.
So to go out in the first round and get swept is like stunning.
Yeah.
Part of it is it just means the regular season doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And it also means that it doesn't matter what you do or how good you are. Like, there's something that's not equitable.
Yeah. Like, when I always refer to that switch, maybe it's more so in hockey than it is basketball, because a team like Columbus was in playoff mode for 6 weeks, and their intensity level was there, while Tampa Bay was, they were locked into the playoffs in February.
Yeah.
You know, so they're just kind of cruise control. Now, they kept winning because they're so good, but the intensity level wasn't there, and they couldn't match it once Columbus brought it. So, on one hand, I go, yeah, it's not good for the sport because you're right. 82 games are of little consequence if you're in playoff position. I mean, you still want to play to have a game 7 if there is one at home, so there is that value. But it's good because when you get into the NHL playoffs, like the NCAA tournament, that was equal to Virginia losing as a one seed.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's what it was.
Yeah,
people love that tournament because of upsets, and the NHL playoffs, that's a massive upset.
But here's the problem. You play 80 games. You play 80 games. What does it tell you? It tells you they don't mean anything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you get 62 wins. It tells you you're a great team, but it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything.
Yet, you can be beaten in the playoffs. Eight seeds have won cups.
But not
L.A.
just,
did it.
Not just beaten. Swept.
Yeah.
Swept.
Embarrassing fashion.
Like, that's outrageous.
And people have been like, what are they going to do? They blow it up? How do you blow it up? You got great players. You won 62 games. Do you fire the coach? They just extended them.
No.
What do? There's only one thing you can do. You go out and you find a Justin Williams playoff veteran performer that gets it done. Try and add that element.
That's outrageous.
Washington tried to do that. It's crazy.
I keep saying it. I just thought it was this whole series, I'm going, all right, well, game one. All right, well, game two.
Yeah, everybody's bracket's busted.
Yeah, well, I mean, who thinks they're going to go out to Columbus?
Yeah. It's amazing. It really is. And the coaching job that Tortorella
Bob and the
did.
Bread Man.
Yeah, I love Tortorella.
How about Tortorella's speech?
It was awesome.
You couldn't even, there was not one, I don't know, was there anything but curse words in it?
Well, it was every other. It was every other word, and his whole thing was, we don't back up at all.
Yeah.
We never take a step back.
He's a great coach.
Playoff coach, too.
Yeah.
That's the thing. He knows how to rally the troops, for lack of a better term, and his kid is a troop in Afghanistan and Special Forces. So, 610-632-0975. So we're talking a lot about Carson Wentz today.
And Ben Simmons.
Interesting guys.
There was a story today that came out, and I don't put much validity to it at all. And there's a story in the New York Daily News that discussed Ben's, there was a couple things that was said out of it. That it was reported that Elton Brand went to ownership and wanted to consider trading Ben during the trade deadline. I don't believe it.
Okay.
There was another point where they alleged that Ben was not sick when he had the stomach virus, but he was out drinking in Orlando the night before.
Was it with Kendall, apparently?
He didn't say it. That's what was written.
Okay. Yeah, he originally said it in Miami, but then he retracted it.
They retracted it, which also makes me go, huh?
Uh-huh.
That there was a retracted item in the story.
Yeah, I'm trying to find
that it wasn't Miami, it was Orlando.
Yeah. T. Will, who is a frequent contributor to the program via Twitter, said the Bruce Bowen element of the story actually happened in San Antonio, not in Portland, and they were not face-to-face. So there's other inconsistencies here, and T. Will follows this stuff really, really close. So he's kind of all over it as well about when that was reportedly to happen. It sounds like there may be some leaps here maybe in the reporting or the writing of the story. Do these things pass the sniff test? But it begs the question, Anthony. It begs this question. Has Brett Brown, does he have control of his locker room?
Well, I mean, you know, again, that's a different situation. Like, that's a different What NBA coaches? We talk about control.
Players League.
I mean, look at Luke Walton, right?
Yeah.
Like there's kind of mitigating circumstances. The real teeth of that story is around Simmons. To me, you know, I mean, the headline is all about Brett, but we already know that Brett has to achieve a certain level.
Yeah, we have a trial going on
to be able to keep his job. I mean, that everybody knows that. I mean, that was one of the things that Josh Harris came out and said. You know, I mean, look, we expect to win. That's what it is.
That's why Elton went out and got the players.
Like, I applaud him.
Yep.
That's what it's supposed to be. So beyond that, what is it when we're talking about Ben? Now, that turned into something else. The conversation we had is not really about that story, but about people that are still frustrated by him.
Yeah, and not willing to be patient with his evolution as a player.
Like, to me, that's the biggest thing with Ben, is that you need to be patient. And it's hard for us. I get it. It's hard for us to be patient. I think you're nuts to trade him. We had a caller earlier, like, great guy. Trade him for a package and get Jamama. The minute you trade the best player in the deal for a package, it's a losing trade.
Yeah.
And that was one of the reasons why I didn't buy the story, is that the story says that he claims that Ben is a failure player in the playoffs annually,
yeah,
which would connote plural,
yeah, multiple,
and at the trade deadline, Lev had he had one run at it, and that was last year. Look, I mean, he was terrible on game one. That's it. He was awful.
Yeah.
But he came back game two, and that's why he's supposed to play.
All right, so to use, like, your 162 contract, if I put a contract on the table right now and said I will be patient with the evolution of Ben Simmons' game, I will have frustrations, yes, at times, but I will be patient, and I will not demand to pull a trigger and trade Ben Simmons in the next three seasons. I know that you're signing it. I'm signing it as well.
I think in fairness, it's two seasons. Like, it's
two
like,
more.
I need to see market improvement next year.
Mm-hmm.
And then if the following year.
Another step.
I need to see. He better have a shot. He better not be afraid to shoot.
Well, that would be year four of his through four seasons. If he's not afraid, if he's still afraid, right, to shoot, then so that's who he's going to be.
I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Okay. All right. So the 2-year deal's on the table. You sign, I will sign. Andrew, do you sign the contract?
Yeah, with Sharpie.
With a nice Sharpie, one of those ones, permanent ink. All right. Andrew signs the contract. Who else signs the contract?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.